ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ.
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. This verse is continuing. In previous verses, if we see, Sukhdev Goswami is explaining Parikshit Maharaj how a yogi should leave the body. If we go behind, and this is 20th verse, if we see the 15th verse, Sukhdev Goswami is saying that whenever the yogi desires to leave this planet of human being, he should not be perplexed about the proper time or place, but he should comfortably sit without being disturbed, and regulating the life air should control the senses by the mind. Later on, Sukhdev Goswami is further explaining that how yogi should merge his mind with his intelligence and then concentrate on super self. Then further he explains that what is the transcendental state of labdhopashanti, how there is no supremacy of devastating time which controls even the celestial demigods who are empowered to rule over mundane creatures, nor is there the mode of material goodness, passion or ignorance. The explanation of labdhopashanti is given. After that, it is explained that how a transcendentalist desire to avoid everything godless, for they know that the supreme situation in which everything is related with the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, a pure devotee who is in the absolute harmony with the Lord does not create perplexities, but worships the lotus feet of the Lord at every moment, taking them into his heart. Then again, Sukhdev Goswami is explaining, which in the last Sunday, Chandrasekhar Acharya very nicely explained, that by the translation says that by the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in the absolute realization, and thus one should give all. One should give his material body by blocking the air from the various holes. And here Srila Prabhupada is explaining that how there are different chakras in the body. All these chakras, meditation, dhyana, yoga, these things are correct, but these things are actually not applicable for people in Kali Yuga. If we try to understand this purpose, here Prabhupada has used few words. Swadhisthana chakra, Manipuraka chakra, Anahat chakra, Vishuddhi chakra. So these things, if we click on Vedabase, there are no second word ever Prabhupada used these things. He just used here so that we know, just for our knowledge. For preparation of this lecture, I was thinking what should be most relevant to read. So I was just going through the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Dhyana Yoga. And there I just read this verse that to practice the yoga, one should go to a secluded place. So if we have to practice this type of yoga, first of all we have to leave Singapore and go to some secluded place. Then it is said that one should sit straight, absolutely straight. It cannot be like this. Absolutely straight. And no need to go to doctor if you are back pain. You just have to sit straight. Then there is a breathing exercise also. You cannot be breathing anyway. It is like proper music. We cannot do anything the way we want. There is a proper way of doing breathing. Then you cannot keep your eyes open, and you cannot close also. If you close, you will sleep. And if you keep it open, there will be so many animals, you will get distracted. So you have to keep half closed, and you have to meditate on the tip of the nose. And we know what happens when we meditate on the tip of the nose. Both the eyes, they concentrate and we look little funny. So you should not meditate on that, but we should meditate on the Paramatma. So if we try to do that, something which is for the people of Satyuga, or even many people they try to do in Kali Yuga also, Prabhupada says that, but often this type of exercise is not possible, especially for Westerners. The so-called yoga societies in big cities may be successful in earning material benefits, but they are not at all suitable for the actual practice of yoga. So one who is not self-controlled and whose mind is not disturbed cannot practice meditation. And we know how much mind our mind is disturbed. Arjun, 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna said that you need to do, for doing all these things, you need to do all these things and then you should control the mind. And Arjuna said that Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramathi balvat dharam. Oh my Lord Krishna, whatever you explain is all right, but to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. It means Arjuna was able to control the wind, but it was he said that I cannot control the mind. So when Arjuna could not do it, when Arjuna is saying that I cannot do it, what to speak of people like you and me? So the mind should be so much controlled in these yoga processes that for people who are in Kali Yuga, who are so much disturbed always, for them it is very, very difficult. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this process of chanting the holy name, devotional service. When we are engaged in bhakti, that is the meditation. Like one time, one devotee who was in Radha Gopinath, he went to one of the railway stations. Like we have here Tanjong Pagar railway station, the train which goes to Malaysia. Same way in Bombay, there is Bombay Central railway station. There are many trains goes, every 15-20 minutes, one train goes out of Bombay to different cities of India. Now one of them is Rajdhani Express, which goes from Bombay to New Delhi. So this devotee, that train leaves around 6:30. This devotee reached at 4 o'clock at Bombay Central Station. Now he had a nature's call. He wanted to go for nature's call. But he said that if I go, then I'll miss this train, the one which is there at 4 o'clock. So he went into that train, he distributed some books, he went there to distribute books. He went there, he distributed a few books, then he came out, by that time the train left, then he thought that let me go to bathroom. But before that he could go, there was another train waiting and which was supposed to leave in next 10-15 minutes. He thought let me go in this train, then he went into that train. Then in this way, he was just exchanging trains and for 4 hours, continuously he was exchanging trains and he sold many books. And after 4 hours, after 9:30, the frequency is little less. And he realized that he is full, he must go to pass urine. If he is not going now, then it will be too late. So somehow he ran and then he finished his work. But we should understand that that was his meditation, that he was so much engrossed in distributing books that for 4 hours he was controlling his urge to pass water. So that is a devotee's meditation. How to do devotional service, how to get ourselves purified, how to serve Krishna, how to please devotees, how to serve devotees, how to serve Krishna. That is our meditation. And Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj or any Vaishnava Acharyas, they have not taught us how to, the way Sukadeva Goswami is saying here, for meditative yogi to leave their body. Like Srila Prabhupada, he said that now that my time to go has come, make me sit straight, I will bring all those chakras and I will do all these things and this is how I will release my pranavayu. But Prabhupada said no, it's let Hare Krishna mantra go on, and Prabhupada was just thinking about Lord Krishna and he went back home, back to Godhead. Similarly, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, his body was apparently cancer, he was a cancer patient. But how he just meditation on Krishna. And at the time of death, our physical body may be inactive, but mind is always active. Even if at the time of this coma, when we are in, some people they are in coma, mind is still active, the intelligence is still active, he is not able to rest, speak out or not able, because the gross senses are not working. So, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, they were meditating on Krishna. And that meditation, by thinking of Krishna, by serving throughout the life, by devotional process, brings us back home, back to Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he left, what was his meditation? He asked one of his disciples to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Sehi Mora Sampada, Sehi Mora Bhajana Pujana. His meditation was the glories of Sri Rupa Manjari, the lotus feet of Rupa Manjari and all the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, their singing their glories is my bhajan and pujan. So Having this thing in the mind, that the process of which is explained in Bhagavatam is very difficult for people in Kali Yuga. And all our acharyas, none of them, they have explained that in Kali Yuga we should do this. They have told us, in Kali Yuga we should chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, follow the process of regulative principles, associate with devotees, and just this way the life finishes and one goes back home, back to Godhead. And what we do there, same thing. The means and the end is the same. Once the yogi reaches to Vaikuntha planet, they cannot go to Goloka Vrindavan. They can, at the most, they can reach to Vaikuntha planet. And once they reach Vaikuntha planet, what they have to do? No, there is no meditation again there. There is service. So at the end of the day, if we have to do service, why not do now? This is what Prabhupada's movement is. Simple, very simple process. So all our acharyas, they have explained how to live as a devotee and how to set the example as a devotee and how to inspire the world as a devotee. There is the appearance day of one of the devotees, Ganga Mata Goswami, Goswamini. You may not have heard much about her, but coming Friday is her appearance day. Coming Friday is also the appearance day of Mother Ganges. Coming Friday is also the disappearance day of Baldev Vidyabhushan. So it's a very auspicious to speak and hear about these Vaishnavas whose life is going to inspire us. And if just by seeing their life, if we just get inspiration, we get inspired, we know that this is the right process and we should not be thinking so much of this chakra or that chakra or something like that. So I'd like to speak something about Ganga Mata Goswami. I never read about her before 3 days back. But since I just read about her, I thought that it is worth sharing her life. And we'll see how the personality is so much engrossed and involved and immersed in Krishna consciousness. And how much sacrifice one can do. How much sacrifice one can do. So we'll see her life. So in the state of Bengal, West Bengal, this Bangladesh, in the Bengal, there was a kingdom, and in that kingdom, small kingdom, there was one king, his name was Naresh Narayan, Sri Naresh Narayan. And he had one daughter, her name was Sachi Devi. This Sachi Devi, from early childhood, she was very much attracted towards Lord Krishna. But naturally, she was very much attached to Lord Krishna. And in the childhood, she was given the training for grammar, poetry. But the moment she learned how to read and understand the different Sanskrit verses and all, she immediately gave up all those reading and she started reading Bhagavatam and all the various scripture. And she became so much attached to Lord Krishna because she got the realization that at the ultimate aim is to serve Lord Krishna, to develop the inner love for Lord Krishna. And she developed her love for Madan Gopal. And she came, reached the age of marriage, so her parents definitely wanted her to get married. But she was the only daughter. The king had no son. She was the only daughter. She was supposed to be the queen of that particular state. But since she was so much attached to Madan Gopal, she said that, "My dear father, I don't want to marry to a person who is going to die. I don't want to marry to a mortal person." So father and mother, they were confused that what to do now. So slowly, slowly they were pushing her that you get married, get married, get married. And since she was a princess, very beautiful, all attractive features, many proposals were coming, but she was very much determined that I don't want to marry to anybody in this people of this mortal world. So the parents, they tried their best, but they could never become successful in getting their daughter married. And in this way, they left this planet. Slowly they became old and they left this planet. Sachi Devi, all the responsibility of the kingdom, it came on her head. She took that responsibility and she ruled the kingdom without a king. She was queen without a king. She ruled the kingdom in the best possible way one could ever think of. But her heart, which was very much attached to Lord Krishna, it was always calling her. And she slowly, slowly gave up her responsibility to all her relatives so that they could take the responsibility of the kingdom. And then she left the kingdom and told the relatives that I am going and searching this state, my kingdom, and I'll see how everything is going on. So I want to go and see. So by telling like this, she just left the kingdom. She left that kingdom, and she came and she visited various places of pilgrimage, and then she came to Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, after taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, she was inspired within to go to Vrindavan. Now, for us, if we feel to go to Vrindavan, just take a flight, go to New Delhi, take a cab or train. In 3 hours, you are in Vrindavan. In fact, if there is a flight at 11:30, by 11:30 night we can be in Vrindavan. So in 12 hours, one can reach in Vrindavan. But in this scenario, she had to walk all the way from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan. But she felt that I should go to Vrindavan, and she went to Vrindavan. Once she reached Vrindavan, she met Haridas Pandit. Haridas Pandit, he was disciple of Anantacharya, and Anantacharya was disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, the one of the Panch Tattva, Srimati Radharani. So Haridas Pandit, he was very, very advanced devotee, very, very advanced. And this personality, he was constantly immersed in the pastime of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, constantly chanting, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, fully absorbed. And he has so much of taste to speak about Lord Krishna, to speak about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, to speak about Golok Vrindavan from Srimad Bhagavatam, that he used to give classes, and many, many people they used to come. And Sati Devi also started going, and she developed so much of attraction for this person that she felt that I should take initiation from him. It is said that Haridas Pandit, he would never see fault in anybody. He would say that if somebody is chanting Hare Krishna, that's all. I don't want to think about any of his faults. There are two types of fly, honeybee and the ordinary fly which we see. The ordinary fly will go and sit at the most bitter part of the body. If we have some pus, something coming off of the body, here it is actually very clean, so we don't see if there is a wound in the body, no flies come, but somehow they manage sometimes. But if we are in countries like India or any other countries where the cleanliness is not maintained, the fly will come and sit right at the place where the blood, pus or dirty things is coming out of the body. I had a problem at my right toe in my childhood, and I literally had to tie it with plastic, just cover it so that flies will not sit on that. So this is the mentality, fly mentality. Even if there is a big beautiful garden, Sentosa garden, any garden, very beautiful garden, if dog has passed tool, the fly will not sit on any of those beautiful flowers, grass, bank, nothing. It will go and just sit on that stool. So similarly, in our body also, if we have some wound, the fly will come and just sit on that. Even if you have a lotus-like eye, even if you are MA, PhD, doctorate, whatever, but it will not see any good quality. It will just go and sit on that. So, and there is a honeybee. Honeybee, even if there is a garbage in that, if there is a flower, it will go and take the nectar from that flower. Like swan, even if it is in the muddy water, it will go to the lotus and it will just take nectar from that lotus. Nothing else, no dirt. So this was the mentality and this was the attitude of Haridas Pandit, seeing nothing bad in anybody. So she felt so much attached to Haridas Pandit that she thought that I should take the initiation from Haridas Pandit. He is my guru. So when she approached, Haridas Pandit said that you are a queen, you have lived a royal life. Vrindavan is a place which is meant for austerity, and it is not good for a female to stay in Vrindavan. You go home, you go back to your kingdom, have one deity of Lord Krishna and serve Lord Krishna there. It's all right. Now Haridas Pandit, he's a pure devotee. He wanted to test what is the desire of this devotee. And at the same time, Sachi Devi is also a pure devotee. She realized that my spiritual wants master is testing me. So she said that whatever he says, I'm not going to do it. I'm anyway will live in Vrindavan and I will serve my spiritual master. And she would attend every day lecture, the classes by Haridas Pandit. She used to serve and she used to serve devotees and she was constantly engaged. And slowly, slowly, because of her this austerity, Haridas Pandit told once to her, still he has not given initiation, but he just said that, Sachi Devi, I am very much happy with you, but now you give up all your false pride, all your opulence, and you just beg in Vrindavan, do Madhukari. Madhukari means begging, alms. So Goswamis, they used to do begging. They used to take some grain or some fruit or milk, just begging little portion from so many houses. He said that go and do this Madhukari and just practice your bhakti Krishna consciousness like this. And this is the order which Sachi Devi received from her spiritual master. She became ecstatic. She was so happy. Immediately she left all her ornaments, all her opulence. Immediately she put on all the rags. She started sleeping on the bank of Yamuna, getting early in the morning, taking bath, going to various temples, attending aarti of many temples, then cleaning the temple with her own hand. In those days there was no machine, no vacuum cleaner. Cleaning the whole temple with hand. So many temples she used to clean every day, and slowly, slowly her body became very weak and thin, but still she continued her service. So in one sense it is a failure story, that here is the queen and now she is doing the cleaning work, mere cleaning work, a simple cleaning work which ordinary people in the material world they do. But it is explained that it was the biggest wealth she got, and this is the greatest success. It was not something like in US, that this man, he was driving the cab and now he has become the president of United States, or he was selling the potatoes on the street and now he has become the big industrialist. It was not that kind of success. This success was a different success. She got the Krishna Prem, the Mahanidhi, the great wealth of love of Lord Krishna. So when Haridas Pandit saw that how all the Brajavasis, they are loving Sachi Devi, how she is so exemplary, she is serving so many devotees, she is so clear in her Vaishnava Siddhanta, that he decided that yes, now I will give you initiation. And then he initiated her. After getting initiation, her ecstasy became all the more high and her service became more and more. And meanwhile, there was one devotee, her name was Lakshmi Priya, who was maternal aunt of Sachi Devi. But she was also disciple of Haridas Pandit. So when she came, Haridas Pandit told her that both of you go to Radhakund and there you perform your devotional service. This Lakshmi Priya, she was such a devotee, she used to chant 192 rounds every day, 300,000 names of Lord Krishna every day. That is practically 22 hours. Satatam kirtayanto mam. That was their meditation. You can see how they are so absorbed in their Krishna consciousness. And both of them, they went to Radhakund. There Lakshmi Priya taught about Vaishnava Siddhanta, Vaishnava philosophy to her. And both of them, they used to do everyday Govardhan Parikrama. Everyday. Here we get chance once in 2 years or 3 years. They would do everyday Govardhan Parikrama. And there they used to do Madhukari, again speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing, chanting, And then suddenly she got a message that Haridas Pandit wants them to come back in Vrindavan. When both of them they came, Haridas Pandit told Sati Devi that you go back to Jagannath Puri and take Kshetra Sanyas. Kshetra Sanyas means she will never leave Jagannath Puri. In that particular area, she will never leave that place. Why he asked her to go there? He asked her to go there because he wanted the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It was in the dwindling state. Nobody was there to take care of that house. No worship was going on and nothing was happening there. So when Haridas Pandit told her, she immediately left again for Jagannath Puri. Now she came to Jagannath Puri and she started living near to Jagannath Lord Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. She established the deity worship. The Shaligram Shila of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which was still there. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Shaligram Shila, which was still there, she established the worship of that Shaligram Shila. She again made the whole house all right. And then she started giving Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. And slowly, slowly, because she was so clear and she was so devoted, so pure, that her message, it started penetrating the heart of everybody. And from miles, people used to walk to attain her Bhagavatam class. And the king of Jagannath Puri at that time, his was Mukunda Dev. He also came once to attain her class. Let me also attain. And after attaining her class, he felt that this lady is really a pure devotee. And I should give her some gift. Now, what a person, a sannyasini, will be given as gift. Now, king was little confused. Then what do I give her? If I give her wealth, she is not going to accept. And spiritually, I cannot give her anything. So what do I give? So he was thinking in this way. And in the dream, Lord Jagannath came to this king. And Lord Jagannath said that you give a place to Sati Devi near to Shweta Ganga. Shweta Ganga is a small lake in Jagannath Puri. Very small lake. But it is called as Shweta Ganga. Let her stay near to that Shweta Ganga. You give her a place near to that Shweta Ganga. So that is what will please her the most. So king in the next morning, he went to Sati Devi. And king said that this is how I got the dream, so I want to give this place. Queen said that, Sati Devi said that I don't want anything. But king said that this is Lord Jagannath's desire, so I must give you. So just to reciprocate with the desire of Lord Jagannath, king gave her some place near to Shweta Ganga. Now she was there in Shweta Ganga, and in Jagannath Puri, there is one festival which is celebrated, which is known as Mahavaruni Snan. Mahavaruni Snan means the people from Jagannath Puri, they go to Ganges and they take bath on that day. So she also felt the same desire that I should also go to Jagannath, to Ganges and take bath. But the problem is she cannot leave Jagannath Puri. So she just tolerated that desire and she slept. In the dream, guess who came? Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath told her that, dear Sachi Devi, I know that you have an intense desire to take bath in Mother Ganges. So, on the day of Mahavaruni Snan, you go early morning to Shweta Ganga and there Mother Ganges will come and she will give you bath. So she went on that day, in the middle of the night, early morning, she went to Shweta Ganga. She went in that pond. The moment she entered, the big waves started coming. Big waves. Can you imagine in a swimming pool there are big waves? Because Shweta Ganga is a pond. There is no, it's not like ocean. It's just a pond or a small lake kind of thing. But big waves. And they started giving her bath. Very big waves. And the water level started increasing of the Shweta Ganga. And it increased so much that it brought Sati Devi in Jagannath temple right in front of the altar of Lord Jagannath. She was there inside the temple and she was praying and she was given bath by Mother Ganges herself. Meanwhile, she could see so many celestial peoples are also taking bath and there was commotion and sound, so many things happening, and the guards outside of the temple, they got out. They were sleeping actually. So because of sound, they were awakened that what's happening. And when they got up, they heard some sound is coming from inside the temple. So in those days, it's not necessary that they will open the temple immediately. They started and they searched and they told the temple authorities that this kind of sound is coming from the temple. What to do? Immediately, king was also informed. King said that open the door. So they opened the door in the temple. They went into the altar and there was nobody. Not even Mother Ganges, nothing, only Sachi Devi. And she was in front of Lord Jagannath. So everybody thought that she came inside the temple to steal the ornaments of Lord Jagannath. But some of the people, they said that no, this cannot be true, there must be some mystery behind it. But still, king as a king, he thought that this is a doubtful thing. How can she inside the temple when everything is locked? So he just said that she should be arrested, she should be jailed. And she was put behind the bars. Now can we imagine Mother Ganges herself brought inside? She never complained. Sachi Devi never complained that why this is with me, why me? She just accepted that as Krishna's mercy, Lord Jagannath's mercy. And she was behind the bar. And then the king slept again. Guess he had a dream. Who came? Who came? Don't say loudly. Lord Jagannath came and Lord Jagannath said that, O king, I wanted her to give Mother Ganges bath in front of me and I brought her into the temple. So you better release her, otherwise all auspiciousness from your kingdom will go. And not only that, tomorrow all those pandas, all those pujaris who were involved in her arrest and including you should take initiation from her. She should be your guru. And king said, what can we say? So he realized his mistake, that Lord Jagannath personally brought Mother Sachi Devi into the temple hall, temple room. So next day king went, he begged forgiveness and he said that I please accept my obeisances. Now all these pandas, all these pujaris, all of us, we want to take initiation from you. And Mother Sachi, she blessed them and she gave them initiation. And from that day onward, she was known as Ganga Mata Goswamini. There was one more pastime, that there was one deity in Rajasthan. In Rajasthan, the name of that deity was Rasik Raya. Very beautiful deity. But it was worshipped by, he was worshipped by one of the very poor Brahman. He was very poor. He could never used to offer nice bhoga to Krishna, nothing. It was very poor, so poor that so many times he never used to offer also. So in the dream, Rasik Rai came to that Brahman and said that you take me from here, you are not offering me anything. I want to have proper prasad. You take me to Jagannath Puri, bring me to Mother Ganga Mata Goswamini. Now this poor man, poor old Brahman, he walked all the way from Rajasthan to Jagannath Puri. It's almost 2500 kilometers. It's almost that much. He walked all the way, he brought Rasik Rai and he told Mother Ganga Mata Goswamini that here is Rasik Rai and he wants to be worshipped by you. He told me. So Mother Ganga Mata Goswamini said that even I am poor, I don't have anything. How do I worship? Even I am living on begging. I cannot worship you. Take him back. But this Brahman, he said that Rasik Rai has told me to give to Ganga Mata, I will give her. So in the night, he just went to Ganga Mata's house and just in that Tulsi garden, he kept Rasik Rai there and he left, ran away as fast as he could. And then when he ran away, the next morning when Ganga Mata, she got up and she was plucking the Tulsi leaves, she saw Rasik Rai sitting there and she realized that he wants to be worshipped by me. So he took, and because she knew that Rasik Rai wants to be worshipped by me, she used to do his puja at least 12 hours a day. He used to give bath, bhoga and serving the Lord Krishna at least 12 hours a day, begging for Lord Krishna, preparing bhoga, offering it. So continuously 12 hours she used to worship. So slowly she grew old, around 120 years old. and her body became very weak. She couldn't move much, and then she told Rasik Rai that now I cannot worship you. I have only two desires, and I want to give your service to some other devotee, and I want to leave this body. So Rasik Rai said that both the things will not happen. I will be with you only, and I will not allow you to leave your body also. So Rati Devi said fine. But Rasik Rai realized that this devotee's time in this material world has finished now. Now she should come back to my abode. So he said, okay, you give me to these devotees and you can come, you can leave this body. So Ganga Mata, she kept Rasik Rai in front of him. She was meditating on Rasik Rai, meditating on his spiritual master, and chanting Hare Krishna, she left the world. So that is the life of Ganga Mata Goswami. Fully immersed, fully into Krishna consciousness. From Kaumaram Acharet Pragyo, from the year when she just realized that who is Krishna, she developed a natural love for him. And till the end of her life, she was continuously engaged in the service of Krishna, in preaching. So this is the life of Ganga Mata Goswami. That is also day of appearance of Mother Ganges. Do we have 30 minutes to? It will take at least 30 minutes. So I will like to speak something about appearance of Mother Ganges. Mother Ganges is also on the same day, Friday. It's very auspicious to talk about Mother Ganges. It is said that one thinks about her, one sees her, when a wind which has just touched the water of Mother Ganges, and when it will touch us, we get purified. That is the power of Mother Ganges. So it is very auspicious to talk about and hear about Mother Ganges. It is said in Padma Puran, Vyasadeva is writing that if each and every grain of the sand of this planet Earth, if we can count, then also we cannot count the glories of Mother Ganges. We cannot count the each and every particle of 1 square feet also. It's very difficult, practically impossible kind of thing. So that is the glory of Mother Ganges. So it is said in Brahma Vaivarta Puran that in Golok Vrindavan, Mother Ganges is there in the form of a gopi. She is there in the form of a gopi. Another story comes in same Brahma Vaivarta Puran that on Kartik Purnima, glorification on Srimati Radharani was going on, and Krishna was worshipping Srimati Radharani, and some of the demigods, they were also given permission to enter in Golok Vrindavan on that day. So many demigods were also there. So Mother Saraswati was also there, and she was singing the glories of Srimati Radharani. Lord Brahma came, he brought one beautiful necklace for Srimati Radharani. Lord Shiva came, he brought a beautiful jewel for Srimati Radharani. And then everybody started asking Lord Shiva to sing. That Lord Shiva, why don't you sing? Lord Shiva said that I cannot sing in front of Srimati Radharani. He was feeling so shy. You know, can you imagine Lord Shiva feeling shy? But he was feeling so shy that I cannot speak, I cannot sing. So Lord Brahma said, Lord Shiva, please sing. He requested. Lord Brahma requested Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva's Sankirtan is so pure and so nectarian that when Lord Shiva is singing the glories of Lord Krishna, and when that song passes through the Brahma Jyoti, in Brahma Jyoti there are many Jivatmas who are in neutral state. They had nothing to do in their life. They are nothing doing. They are just there. They are just there. What they are doing? Nothing. But when they hear the Sankirtan of Lord Shiva, many of them, they go to Golok Vrindavan. That is the purity and the nectar which comes from Lord Shiva's lotus mouth. So when Lord Shiva was singing, all the demigods, they became unconscious. In Golok Vrindavan, Lord Shiva is singing and everybody became unconscious. And when Lord Shiva stopped, he saw everybody is unconscious. And slowly, slowly, everybody started coming up in their conscious state. So when everybody came in conscious state, they felt that everywhere there is only water and Radha and Krishna is not there. So Lord Brahma said that, Lord Shiva, your singing was so powerful that Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they have converted and they have transformed into water. So everybody said it's fine, but no, we want them now. From sky there is the voice came that if Lord Shiva composes beautiful prayer in Tanta Shastra, which will be part of Tanta Shastra, then Lord Radharani and Srimati Sri Krishna will appear. So Lord Shiva said, okay, I will do that, but you please come. So then they appear. And that water is the water of Ganges. That is the appearance of Mother Ganges. There is one more pastime which comes in Garga Samhita, that how Mother Ganges came. It's a long pastime. I'll try to be short. That in the first son of, one of the first son of Lord Brahma was Narad Muni. Right? So Narad Muni, he was asked by Brahmaji that now you procreate. Narad Muni said that I don't have interest in all these things. I simply want to sing the glories of Lord Krishna. So Brahmaji said, okay, in one kalpa you will take birth as Gandharva and he will sing the glories of Lord Krishna. So as a Gandharva, when he was singing the glories of Lord Krishna, once he went to Brahma Lok, and because he was a Gandharva, he was always surrounded by beautiful ladies. So Narad Muni started singing, but because he was surrounded by so many ladies, his mind was getting disturbed. As a Gandharva, his mind was getting disturbed, and because of that, all the ragas, all the, kya bolte raga ko English mein, all the meters, tunes, it all not in proper way it should be. It was just going up and down, and it was not so much systematic as it should be. So Lord Brahma said, you are not singing properly, you become a Shudra. So in next life, Narad Muni became Shudra. And then we know the pastime, that as a Shudra, he was son of a maid servant, and during the 4 months of Chaturmas, the Bhakti Vedantis, they came, and how with their permission he ate their remnant, and how one time his mother was bitten by a snake, and how mother left the world. And then Narad Muni, a small child as a Shudra, he was alone, and then he was wandering everywhere on the planet. And at one point of time, when he was sitting, Lord Krishna appeared in his meditation. And when Lord Krishna appeared, he wanted to have his darshan again and again and again, because all the moment one has the beautiful form of Lord Krishna in his as a darshan, all the miseries of this material world, it goes. All the pain, it goes, and one experiences a supreme bliss. Sorry. So Narad Muni wanted to experience that same supreme bliss again, and he was trying his best. He did all those asanas, mudras, kriya again, that now at least again let me see Lord Krishna if he comes. But no way, nothing happened. And he became little morose, and then Lord Krishna said, in the form of a sky, a sound came, that in this birth you will never be able to see me again, and you will, in next birth you will definitely able to see me, but in this life, because of you have seen my form, the intense separation and the constant meditation will make you fully purified, and then in next life you can see me. So in next life Narad Muni became Narad Muni, and then he was passing through Vedanagar, one of the place, Vedanagar. And there he saw beautiful ladies. Everybody has a very beautiful face, very beautiful. But their limbs were not all right. Some were hunchbacked, somebody's hand was, somebody's another hand, both the hands, both the legs. Their body was deformed. So Narad Muni said that, what is wrong with all of you? It is, all of you are so beautiful, but what is, why it has happened like this? Well, there is a son of Brahma, his name is Narad Muni. And Narad Muni's face was bleeding, what is going to happen now, what is going to come? There is a son of Brahma, his name is Narad Muni, and because he is not singing properly, because his meters are going up and down, and we are the personified ragas, the personified meters. We are those personified ragas, and because he is not singing like this, our body has become like this. Narad Muni says, I am like Narad Muni. So what do I do now to make you all right? He said that now you should go and worship Mother Saraswati. She is the one who will teach you how to sing in proper meter. So Narad Muni said, yes, I will definitely do that. So Narad Muni went to a mountain and he started doing tapasya. Mother Saraswati appeared and Mother Saraswati taught him all the meters, all the ragas, all the things just perfect. Because in the Vedas, when all this, in Samaveda, all the ragas and all those explained, one cannot sing any raga at any time. In the morning there is a different raga, in the afternoon there is a different raga, in the evening there is a different raga. So Saraswati, Mother Saraswati taught Narad Muni everything in the detail, how to sing, what to sing, when to sing. And Mother Saraswati gave him one veena. The name of that veena was? No, in this case it is Devadatta. So Narad Muni was given this veena. And Narad Muni became ecstatic now. He has this veena, and we know Narada Muni Bajaye Veena Radhika. He is just singing the glories of Radhika Raman. And then he went to Gandharva Loka. And the topmost Gandharva in Gandharva Loka is Tumburu. And he developed friendship with him. And both of them, they thought that now we'll just sing the glories of Lord Krishna everywhere, anywhere, wherever we are going. So first they went to Indra Loka, from Indra Loka to Brahma Loka, from Brahma Loka to Shiv Loka. From Shiv Loka they crossed the Viraja River, they went to Golok Vrindavan, and there they met Gopi. Yeah? Narad Muni is given permission, he can go anywhere. So Narad Muni is given permission, he went to Golok Vrindavan, and there he was approached by all the gopis. And the gopis said that, what do you want? He said, we want to sing for Radha Govinda Dev. So gopi said, yes, we'll arrange for that. And both of them, they started singing for Radha Govinda Dev. And as they were singing, Narad Muni now is a completely perfect, the one who is in perfect meter, no more deformed body. He was singing with so much of love, so much of devotion, that again, Radha and Krishna, their body transformed into water. And that became the causal ocean. And then we know the pastime, in the Bali Maharaj pastime, that how Vamandev, he just with the nail of his toe, he punctured that causal ocean and Mother Ganges came in this material world. But before it came to this planet Earth, Mother Ganges, she was only in heavenly planets. And there Mother Ganges is known as Mandakini River. When Mother Ganges comes on this middle planetary system, she is known as Bhagirathi. And when she goes to the lower planetary system, it is known as Bhogavati. So till that time, Mandakini River, Ganges, was only in heavenly planets, only in higher planetary system. It was not there on the earth. So there was a king, his name was Sagar. And he had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. Sumati had 60,000 sons. And Keshini had only one son. Now Sumati's 60th, this Keshini's son, he was thrown out of the kingdom. We'll discuss why. But 60,000 sons were there with Sumati. And King Sagar, he did one Ashwamedh Yajna. Ashwamedh, horse sacrifice. He did horse sacrifice and suddenly he realized that his horse is stolen. Is nowhere. So he sent all his, because without horse, the horse sacrifice cannot be completed. So he sent his 60,000 sons, say, you go and search for that horse, where it is. So those 60,000 sons, they searched all, everywhere on this planet, everywhere. They went to Patal Loka also. They reached those elephants also on which the whole planetary system is sustaining. These four elephants, they are also sustained by Ananta Shesh, but they reached those four elephants also. And it is explained that when those four elephants, they shake their body, there is earthquake. Yeah, so this is the secret of the earthquake, which will be impossible for modern scientists to. But when they reached there, they reached in Patal Loka, and there they saw Kapil Muni. He was doing worship, his meditation, and horse was moving. He was eating grass there. So they thought that this Kapil Muni has stolen our horse. So all the 60,000 sons, they thought that let us kill him, chop him, and these are all Kshatriyas, that he has stolen our horse, this, that, everything. And Kapil Muni, he was very silent. He said, he just heard the sound, something is coming. He opened his eyes. He was very normal. He had not taken even that offense. But Mother Nature, material nature accepted the offense of these 60,000 sons to Kapil Muni. And it created a strong fire in the body of all the 60,000 sons. And they all burned to ashes right there. So, now again, Maharaj Sagar is in anxiety. He lost the horse also, he lost his 60,000 sons also. Now, the another wise Keshini's son, his name was Asamanjas. Now, Asamanjas, he was very playful. You know, he used to play and he used to just take the kid and drown in the water. Just drown in the water. This was his play. Just kill them like this. So, that's why he was thrown out of the kingdom. But when 60,000 sons were killed, he was called. And then with his own mystic power, he brought all those sons back. So king said, okay, now I can accept you. Now this Asamanjas also tried to... Asamanjas had one more son, his name was Anshuman. And Anshuman decided that let me search where are my uncles and where is that horse. So he also searched everywhere. But he just realized that they burnt into ashes, and the only possible way is if river Ganges, the water of river Ganges is sprinkled on their ashes, and then only they will get liberated. So Anshuman tried, he also did some tapasya, but nothing happened. Anshuman had one son, his name was Dilip. He also thought that let me bring Mother Earth to this planet Earth, Mother Ganges to this planet Earth, and if I can liberate my great grand uncle. But this King Dilip was also unsuccessful. After that, King Dilip's son Bhagirath. This Bhagirath, he went to Himalayas and there he performed tapasya for 60,000 years. And Mother Ganges came. And he said that, okay, I am ready to come, but there are two problems. First is my force. In heavenly planets, the planets are very strong. But in earthly planets, they are not so strong. If my force comes, it will dislodge Mother Earth. So that is first problem. And second problem is that whoever bathes in me, I take their sin. But in earthly planet, all of you are so sinful that I'll become dirty and I'll become sinful. So Bhagirath said that I have to think of some solution of this. He immediately said that Lord Shiva will take your force and I'll pray and take the boon from him. So Gangadevi said, yes, fine, then I am all right with that. And then, what about sin? The answer which Bhagirath said is really very nice. He said that if only one pure devotee comes and takes bath, that pure devotee's purity will clean all your sins, whatever is done by millions and millions of people. So that one pure devotee bath will be enough and equal to take care of all whatever sins you have taken. So Mother Ganges accepted that also. Like, yes, this is the right thing which you are saying. I will definitely come. So Lord Bhagirath, he did austerity and he pleased Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, okay, fine, I am ready to take the force of Mother Ganges. And Prabhupada explained that why Lord Shiva accepted. Because the whole Mother Ganges is nothing but the Charanamrit of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. As Vamandev, he punctured that this is a Charanamrit. And he said that I cannot take anywhere this Charanamrit other than on my head. So that's why Lord Shiva said, I will happily accept that Charanamrit on my head. I will take the force of Mother Ganges. So the Mother Ganges came in the jata, in the hair, the matted hairs of Lord Shiva. And then the place where there is Gomukh in Himalayas, there Mother Ganges started coming. That is the place where Mother Ganges touched the Mother Earth. And that was the place where Bhagirath had his own chariot. And Mother Ganges said that now you just take your chariot, I will just follow you. Now can we imagine the force of Mother Ganges in those days? Now also it is, although the glaciers are melting externally, we see, still the force is too much. In that time the force must be so heavy, and Bhagirath is running his chariot and bringing, he wanted to reach to Ganga Sagar near to Bengal. There all the ashes were there of the 60,000 his great grand uncle. He wanted to reach there, but before he could reach, he passed through various forests, various jungles. So he passed through one of the muni known as Janu Muni. When he passed through that place, Janu Muni was doing meditation, Satyuga meditation. That was the way. He was doing meditation and suddenly heard a sound, a beautiful sound, but it was very loud. It was very nice sound, but it was very loud. Sometimes if the kirtan is too loud, so he was little disturbed. He said, "What is happening?" And then he saw water coming, all Mother Ganges. So he just swallowed that full water. And Bhagirath said that something, the sound was coming, why it is not there? So he saw behind and nothing there. He said, just saw the king, Janu Muni is sitting there, is meditation. So he realized that Janu Muni has swallowed the whole Mother Ganges. So he requested. So Janu Muni said, "Okay, I'll give you back." So Mother Ganges came out from the ear of Janu Muni. And from that day onward, Mother Ganges is also known as Janvi, because she is daughter of Janu Muni. So then she reached to this place, Ganga Sagar, and all the 60,000 great grand uncles of Bhagirath, they were all liberated. And this is how we have Mother Ganges, which is also known as Bhagirathi, which is also known as Mandakini. Here also we call Mandakini and Mother Ganga, Janvi. This is how Mother Ganges came on this planet Earth. There is one more story of same Mother Ganges. There are two Mother Ganges, Bhagirathi Ganga and Gautami Ganga. Not Gomati Ganga, Gautami Ganga. When at Prayag, all people, they were doing sacrifice. Lord Brahma, he was priest. I'll be very short. So in the ground breaking ceremony of that sacrifice, Lord Brahma was breaking the ground, and with his axe kind of stuff, when he hit the ground, he saw one chest, iron chest. So all the demigods, they were wondering, what is this? So Lord Brahma also wondering. So when he opened that chest, in that chest, there was one beautiful lady. Her name was Ahalya. She was very beautiful. So all the demigods in those sacrifices were assembled there. They all wanted to marry her because she was so beautiful. In fact, Brahmaji was also momentarily bewildered. But then he controlled himself. And all the demigods, they wanted to marry. So now Brahma said that she can marry only one person. So let us have a race. No, I don't know how Brahmaji managed. But he said that let us have a race. Who Pradakshina? The one who will do the circumambulation of Mother Earth, and the one who comes first will marry her. Now all the demigods, so many Kshatriya kings, so many sages were also there. So Brahmaji said, "Okay, queue up, 1, 2, 3. Maybe, I don't know what Brahmaji had. So they started and everybody is just running, and they had so much of passion to have this lady. And this Gautam Rishi was also there, and he was very old. Now everybody is running, and Gautam Rishi is, I don't know what he is doing, he is just walking slowly, slowly. And they are way, way ahead. And then Gautam Rishi sees one cow who is just in the process of giving birth to a calf. So Gautam Rishi said, "This is very nice." He just did the parikrama 3 times and he came back. And Lord Brahma said, "This is the way you should be going, and now you are coming back from the same way." And before Brahma could say anything, Brahma felt that I should say sorry to Gautam Rishi, that he is so old and he is running. I should say sorry to him having organized this kind of race. But before he could say anything, Gautam Rishi said that, I won. And Brahmaji said, "Wow." Gautam Rishi explained that there is no difference between doing one parikrama of a cow who is in the process of giving birth to a calf and circumambulation of the planet Earth. So Brahmaji was little bewildered, and by that time the sound from earth sky came, and they said that Gautam Rishi is right. So Brahmaji arranged immediately those other demigods and sages who thought that we should not take part in the race, they were also there. So the marriage ceremony was taken place, and they were duly married, and by that time all the demigods, they were reaching. And then they saw that, what is this? Gautam Rishi! What? He has cheated us. He has cheated us. So Gautam Rishi immediately took shelter of Brahmaji. And Brahmaji said that you go to Brahmagiri, the place which is near to Nasik, there Lord Shiva is there, and you take shelter of Lord Shiva and nothing will happen, you will be taken care of. So Gautam Rishi, Ahilya, they went to Brahmagiri and there they were living peacefully. Now in Lord Shiva's head there were two Ganges, Bhagirathi Ganga and this Gautami Ganga. So Bhagirathi Ganga has already left. She is already flowing. But this Gautami Ganga is still there because she got attached to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva also got attached to her. And they both decided, okay, you be here, no problem. Now Parvati will not like this. Parvati thought that she should go now. It's the time has come. She should go. So Parvati and Mother Parvati and Ganesh, they did played one. They made one plan. And according to plan, they created drought everywhere except at Brahmagiri. Everywhere on the planet except at Brahmagiri. So according to plan, all the sages, because there is no water anywhere else, the water is available only at Brahmagiri, they all came to Brahmagiri. And they all took shelter of Gautam Rishi. Now Gautam Rishi, as a Vaishnava, he had a desire to serve all the sages. And he was such a powerful tapasvi that in the morning he used to sow the seed, the next day morning the rice used to be ready. So in this way he was serving. Today morning, next day morning business is done. Then again next day morning take those seeds, cook and serve all the brahmanas, all the sages, and at the same time sow the seed, next morning is ready. But one day one cow suddenly came and she ate all the rice. So all the sages, they remained hungry. So Gautam Rishi said that this is not correct. Cow should not eat this. So next day, again, cow ate the grass, all the rice. Next day, Gautam Rishi said enough is enough. He thought that I should chase this calf away, cow away. So he took one kusha grass. Kusha grass means a small grass blade. Nothing happens. Even if we do anything to anybody, even a newborn baby child will not get hurt with that. So he took that kusha grass and he was just trying to chase that cow away. Hey, hey, hut! Something like that with that grass. But the moment that grass touched that cow, the cow fell dead. Now all the sages, they said that now we cannot eat food from your hand. You have done gohatya. So Gautam Rishi was perplexed. He said that here I wanted to serve them and everything is in mess now. So Lord Ganesh came according to plan. Lord Ganesh came and said, Gautam Rishi, what happened? He said that so and so thing has happened. So now you should take bath in Mother Ganges. If you take bath in Mother Ganges, then you can be purified. So he said, where is the Ganges? There is no Ganges here. He said, the Ganges is there in the head of Lord Shiva. That Ganga, one Ganga is there. So you please Lord Shiva and when he will release, then you can take bath in that. So Gautam Rishi performed tapasya for 88,000 years and Lord Shiva pleased, because he is Ashutosh, he pleased, was pleased. So Gautam Rishi asked that I want Mother Ganges to come. Lord Shiva said, what can be done now, I have to release her. So he asked Ganga that now you come out. So Ganga said that I will not come out. I have stayed here enough, so I have got very much attached to you, I will not leave. Lord Shiva said, you must come out, I have promised my devotee, I have to give the benediction which he is wanting. He said that no, I will not come out. So Lord Shiva got little upset, little angry, and he started slapping his jata on a mountain, on a chattan rock on that Brahmagiri mountain. He has long hair, so he was doing like this. He was slapping his hair so that Mother Ganges will come out. Still, if we go to Bhagirathi, Brahmagiri, we can see the mark of Lord Shiva's jata, or Shiva's head, hair. So then Mother Ganges started flowing. Said, okay, now he doesn't want me now, so I must come out. So Mother Ganges started flowing from Brahmagiri. So when it was flowing, Gautam Rishi saw, paid his obeisances, and then he was thinking that this is Charnamrita of Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu. And it has come from the head of Lord Shiva. How can I put my feet in Mother Ganges? So he was thinking in this way, and by that time Godavari, Mother Ganges disappeared. So he was again in anxiety. What to do? He again prayed to Mother Ganges And Mother Ganga said that, okay, I'll appear in Kushavarat Tirtha, which is very near to Brahmagiri. There's a kund, it's a pond. Kund, it's deep kund. And the origin of Mother Ganges is from there. And then Gautam Rishi, he took bath, he took that water and sprinkled on that cow. The body was still there and the cow was again alive. And then from that day onward, Mother Ganges, that Mother Ganges is known as Godavari. Godavari. So that is the appearance of Mother Ganges in Bhagirathi Ganga and Godavari Ganga. So it is said that Lakshmi Devi, Saraswati, Savitri, Ganga, everything has the same origin, Lord Krishna. Lord Mother Ganges, she sits on a crocodile, a white crocodile. Crocodile, actually in this material world, it represents death. We remember the pastime of Gajendra. Crocodile actually represents death. But Mother Ganges sits on that crocodile. And Mother Ganges is saying that you take my shelter, I will save you from the death, the crocodile of this material world. And Prabhupada said that even if you are at Calcutta, where the stool is floating in Mother Ganges, and if you are given chance to take bath, just push the water, just push that garbage away, take bath in Mother Ganges, and you will get purified. That is the potency of Mother Ganges, the water, pure water of Mother Ganges. As I spoke earlier, that even if that wind which blows on the Mother Ganges, and when it touches us, that also makes us purified. In the holy land of India, we have so many rivers, Krishna, Kaveri, Godavari, Narmada, Ganga. So why these rivers are there to make us purified? And Mother Ganges is there to make us purified. So whenever we are visiting, especially Mayapur, this is Mother Ganges. Actually the liquid form of Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvam Bhattacharya and Vidya Vachak, he is Sarvam Bhattacharya's brother. I don't remember his name. But he said that you, Sarvam Bhattacharya, you worship Krishna in the form of this wood here in Jagannath, as Jagannath, Lord Jagannath. And you, I don't remember his name, you go to Navadvip and there you worship Krishna in the form of Mother Ganges. So that is a liquid personified form of Lord Krishna as Mother Ganges. And Prabhupada says that there are two most important rivers, Ganga and Yamuna. And there are pastimes how Ganga and Yamuna is also one and the same. So we'll end here. I think it's enough, right, Om? Any question? So let us all meditate on Mother Ganges. Let us all meditate on Ganga Mata Goswamini. And Friday is the day. Friday is also the day of disappearance of Baldev Vidyabhushan. He is the personality who established the authenticity of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Till Baldev Vidyabhushan, we had no commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the natural commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Jaipur there were so many Ramanandis, the people from Ramanuja Sampradaya, they were saying that you don't have your own commentary, so you are not accepted as bona fide Sampradaya. So when Baldev Vidyabhushan reached Jaipur, and when he said that the national commentary is already there, Srimad Bhagavatam, they were all the more angry. They said that it means you accept that you don't have commentary, so we don't accept you. And the king of that particular place, who was devotee of Govindadev and the follower of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, he was little perplexed, confused what to do. So Baldev Vidyabhushan said that, okay, I will give you commentary in few days. And he came in front of Radha Govindaji and he prayed hard. And Radha Govindaji came and they said that you write the commentary, whatever you write will be just perfect. There will not be any flaw in that. And then he wrote the commentary, and that commentary is known as Govinda Bhashya. Govinda, Lord Govinda means Govind, Lord Govind, and Bhashya means the one who has spoken by. So Govinda Bhashya is spoken by actually Govinda Deva. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan gave that Govinda Bhashya to all of us. And when Ramanujani Sampradaya, when they saw this, they said that this is excellent, we want to take your shelter. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan said that you are from bona fide Sampradaya. And if I give you initiation, it means I will try to put Ramanuja Sampradaya down, which I don't want to do it. So he just gave them knowledge, but he never initiated them, respecting Ramanuja Sampradaya and Ramanuja Charya. And then on that day, Baldev Vidya Bhushan was given the title Vidya Bhushan, the one whose ornament is knowledge. Vidya Bhushan. So till that time he was Baldev. Then Baldev Vidya Bhushan. His guru was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had so much of faith on this personality that he sent only to Baldev Vidya Bhushan to Jaipur, not any other disciple. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Gurudev ki jai. Gaur Premanande.